When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there. It's time for Most Things Kenobi. Shouldn't it be All Things Kenobi?
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Most Things Kenobi, a podcast about Obi-Wan Kenobi and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Leanne.
And I'm your host, Lauren.
And this week is part two. It's the follow-up episode to Dooku Captured, which we did last week. This is even more ridiculous, and it's titled The Gungan General. And this is only a two-episode arc, as opposed to the usual three. But that's okay, because that's all this one needs.
Yeah, seriously, God, we couldn't handle another episode.
I mean, how many more situations can they be in that are embarrassing for all of them?
Seriously. Oh my Lord.
I love this episode. You know it's bad when it has the word Gungan in the title, because Jar Jar adds a whole other— they not only are these two episodes absurd in a good way, they layer it up by adding Jar Jar to it, which
I know
no good can come from.
The man can't even— he can't even get in a fucking seat without help. He's really struggling.
I feel bad for his character, because every person can do something right. And I know Jar Jar's like that the unlikely hero. He's the one that falls into good luck and good happenstance.
Right. Right.
But he's a capable individual. I believe he is.
Somehow, whatever he does ends up working out, except for Senator Karras.
Well, not a kid show. They literally sacrifice an entire— yes. senator to, like, see this through in this episode. Like,
it's so just sad.
It's so sad. It's so useless. It's so, like, pour one out for Senator Karras, because we hardly knew ye. Literally, we hardly knew ye.
Seriously. What we know is that he's done a ransom run before and ended up in a dungeon for a month, apparently, with no explanation.
Can I ask why the Republic has Spice just chilling, ready to be ransomed off?
Well, I assume the spice mines of Kessel are part of the Republic before they become part of the Empire.
Oh, I just find it very convenient. They got a bunch of drugs laying around.
Well, yeah, there's a dark side to everything, right?
I mean, it does come in handy until Senator Karras dies.
I know. I love that they have spice in Star Wars. Like it's Coke or something.
Yeah, totally. Like, totally. And Hondo's all about it. Like, him and his dudes, they literally turn on each other because they want it so bad.
I know. They are willing to kill for that spice. Yeah. Oh,
well, speaking
man.
Of which, this whole episode starts off with a giant question mark that I figured we would address, which is, at the end of Dooku Captured that we covered last week, that literally the final scene is Anakin and Obi-Wan switching their drinks with the other pirates to ensure that they're not drugged.
Yes.
And we see confirmation of them not being drugged, because the other two pass out and they remain as—
right.
Exactly. Happy-go-lucky as ever, right? And then this episode starts and they are in a cell. Somehow they were drugged.
Yeah, tied together. And there's even the line where Anakin says, "I only took a sip," and Obi-Wan says, "We were drugged, obviously." But they don't remember it.
Yeah.
And they were trying to take precaution for it. And yes. Everyone I know has a question about this. Like, what the hell happened there?
It's answered. It's answered on the Wikipedia. It says, after Obi-Wan and Anakin wake up after being drugged, everyone wants to know why. Turns out, the show originally had webcomics posted to the official Star Wars website, which tied into the various episodes. And guess who ended up drugging them? And everyone else. Pilf Muckmuck, the Kowakian monkey lizard of Hondo, he ended up gassing the entire room. And that's how they ended up in a cell with Dooku.
It was worth knocking everybody out just to catch two Jedi.
I just love the mischievous, like, first of all, obviously there's a gas line somewhere piping
or he just
in.
Threw a gas bomb into the room. Who knows?
Or he just threw one in. But it's the fucking monkey that's doing it. The little rascal. I love that so much. Oh, Pilf.
Is that the one? Is Pilf Muckmuck the one played by Matt Lanter? Oh, this one is... Pilf is voiced by Dee Bradley Baker.
Okay.
So it's the other one, whatever that one was.
His brother?
They all have, yeah.
His brother Pick? Pick Moo Moo oh. Muck Muck and Pilf Muck Muck. I can't... So Pilf has a brother named Pick. Not sure if that's Matt Lanter. It is? Okay.
That is. That's Matt Lanter. Okay.
He's the yellowish one. He's cute.
Oh, yeah, with the blue. Yellow and blue.
Yes. Yeah, and Pilf is reddish, greenish looking.
Yes, yes. Very ornery looking, honestly.
I really want all of them. I already have Salacious, obviously. But we need Pilf and Pick to kind of flank Salacious in the middle. It would be a great, like, three-tiered Kowakian system. I don't even know what I'm talking about, and I love it.
Well, at least now we understand what the hell happened, because for years, I mean, it's what, 2008? We've all been wondering, because a lot of people didn't watch the show. Like, I didn't see it when it first came out. I watched it on Netflix years later, so I was always like, what the hell happened there?
Right. Well, I just love that Obi-Wan's like, well, we were drugged, obviously. Obviously? How obvious?
Drugged with gas.
Yeah. You were, yeah. And anyway, that starts the whole litany of nonsense between those three. So here we have a Sith Lord attached to a Jedi Master extraordinaire. Attached to his annoying adolescent, post-adolescent, what is he, like 20 at this point?
Yeah, he's Padawan. Young.
It's ridiculous.
Dooku cannot stand it. He's in agony this entire episode.
Dooku shines in this episode because his voice is so irritated. Like, it's irritable anyway because it's low and it's got, like, that air of superiority we know about Dooku. But the fact that he's so fucking annoyed at the other two insolents that he's tied to, you know, and they almost escape. They do pull together and they almost escape a few times,
but successful never.
No.
Until Dooku's on his own, then he just murders his way out, and that's fine.
Well, that's what separates him from the rest.
And even Anakin can barely keep it together. He's so annoyed.
They're all on different levels of, like, why are we here and why am I stuck to him? Except they're all pointing at each other.
Yeah, it's like that Spider-Man meme.
Yes, so they're all like, it's him, you, no, you.
Well, I had forgotten. I actually wrote a blog post about the cinematography of this episode, like, a long, long time ago.
Yes.
And it's... one of the main things that I reference is how Obi-Wan is always in the middle.
It makes sense.
He's physically in the middle, but he's also always the one in the middle between Anakin and Dooku. Like, he's always positioned there. Mm-hmm. And he's the one least bothered. So he's kind of, he does get to a point where he's really irritated. But for the most part, he's able to manage Anakin and he's able to, like, deal with Dooku. So he's quite literally in the center. He's more balanced. He's the least emotional of all of them.
He is. He does handle it quite well. He handles it with kind of like, well, if you can't beat him, join him kind of attitude.
Yeah, he's kind of laughing through it a bit. I mean, he starts to get more serious by the end after they try to pole vault as a family.
I know. That whole thing is so ridiculous. It almost works.
It almost works. But then Obi-Wan after that, then he's like, we're going to look like fools. He's like, we need to get our shit together.
Yeah, they're supposed to be the most powerful three that there is. And they're all tied to each other and they can't make it work. I love it. It's like if Star Wars had a Big Brother house, you know, and they were all forced to be in the same room together. And then they had like their monologues. That they would
oh my splice. God.
I'm getting a whole idea now. I kind of would, that would be fun to write.
Somebody you should please do write. It. We need to laugh in this day and age. That would be great. Oh man. But then there's also like some great lighting to like really jump around. It like at the end, once they do the pole vaulting thing and Obi-Wan saves Dooku back in the cell. There's a shot where Anakin says, I think it's time to lose the dead weight. And Dooku is in the center of the shot, and his face is split with light and dark. And Anakin, when he says that, he turns into the shadow. And then Obi-Wan turns into the light and says, like, Anakin, like, we can't do that.
Yeah.
It's just very deliberate coding there.
I think it's great that anyone would say that in front of Dooku. Like... He throws so many threats around too, Dooku, you know.
Oh man, there's some classic ones in this episode. I mean, we've already discussed in previous episodes the one comment about he would kill them both now, except that he'd have to drag their bodies.
Yeah.
It's still one of my favorite lines in all of Clone Wars.
It's so well delivered that it's actually believable and laughable at the same time. Like, you can sense the how he detests being in the same area as them.
Yeah. He's really doing his best, but you can tell he really hates this whole experience.
Yeah, he wants out.
Yeah, Obi-Wan can laugh about it. I think Anakin is legitimately irritated, but trying to, like, enjoy making fun of Dooku, but Dooku really hates it.
You know what's wild to think about? We have episodes like this where we have these three, right? And then we know what happens in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
And it's like, can't you laugh about what... Can't we look back at the good times?
Before I behead you?
Yeah. When you're standing there with two lightsabers crossed in front of his head and a look of just pure fear in Dooku's eyes. Can't you just look back and think about the old times? We once laughed together. We once... You know, we once joked around together. Doesn't it mean anything? I don't know. I'm waxing poetic about Dooku and Anakin, who literally hate each other.
I think that's why, even though this is a very light, funny episode, Anakin is cinematically coded very dark the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And his back is often to the audience, and he's on the left side of the frame almost all the time, which indicates like a less balanced character. And it's because we have to believe it when he turns into Darth Vader. And all of that is subconscious communication to the audience. So you might not be like registering it consciously, but it makes it easier to understand why he starts to slip later. Because the whole show, they code him this way. It's being a little bit off kilter and always kind of going against the grain. And that's why I love this show.
Yeah, totally. And it becomes more evident going further into the later season. He shows it more obviously. It's kind of an undertone in the first season, but it gets, you know, when he's like literally force choking people and stabbing people or threatening to stab or cut or behead or what.
The Vader theme makes its way in more often. And I mean, in season one, he's still drawing stick figures of people hugging.
I love that.
I know. That was one of my favorite moments for Anakin ever.
Is it bad that I kind of get why Anakin feels the way he does? They're literally chained to the guy that they're trying to destroy, unbeknownst to who's pulling the strings of the whole thing behind the scenes. But
sure.
You know, they're this close, right? And they've been embarrassed by a bunch of pirates who caught him and they couldn't. That's already been mentioned. Yep. And then they're in a cell with him and I kind of get Anakin's anger. Like, I would be a little bit annoyed at, I'm trying to picture this from Anakin's personality, not my own. Mm-hmm. I'm not annoyed by Obi-Wan ever, but if I was Anakin, I would be annoyed at his lightheartedness because this is the guy that they're trying to stop.
Yeah.
And this is as close as they've ever been, and they still have to work together to get out together.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't we just kill him? He's right here. Like, I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it, right?
Right.
Like, finish the mission.
He's so on character than when they're pole vaulting. And Obi-Wan saves Dooku, and Anakin says, drop Dooku.
Yeah. And I get it.
It's so interesting, though, because we get why Anakin is that way, and, like, can we discuss Obi-Wan saving Dooku?
Yeah, like, this is the guy who was entangled with your old master who died, and, like, there's drama. There's all kinds of drama there. There's background. There's history. Not good. Not good. But we don't question Obi-Wan when he does it either, because that's totally in character with who he is.
Yeah. It's just... Like, he doesn't like to waste life needlessly. He's not afraid to take life. We've seen that plenty of times. Not so much in Clone Wars, but definitely in Ewan McGregor's version of Obi-Wan. And Alec Guinness's, for that matter. No problem cutting arms off.
No problem.
But I don't think that he would want to look himself in the mirror after just having let Dooku fall to his death. I don't think he could have lived with himself that way. And it's instinct. You're not thinking in a moment like that. You're just reacting.
Yeah. Anakin sees a solution to a problem, but Obi-Wan knows the ramifications if they were to just drop him.
Yeah.
Yes, it's an easy out, but he'd then have to explain to the council there is no trial, which would be questioned. There'd be a lot of paperwork. I don't think he's thinking about this in this moment, but he knows, like, this is not the right way to go about it. There needs to be a trial. Right. There needs to be, he has to stand, you know, and take some kind of responsibility for the, it was never going to happen anyway, because, you know, fucking
right,
Sidious.
Of course.
But I get it.
But even, like, the moral question, too, of if you allow yourself to do something like that, isn't that one step closer to the dark side?
Oh, absolutely.
And of course, we know Obi-Wan, if he didn't turn with some of the other worse shit in his life, he's definitely not going to take a step towards the dark side just for Dooku over a bunch of pirates.
No. The whole situation is so ridiculous. And meanwhile, all of this is going on internally and externally. Fucking Hondo's own people are turning against him. A senator dies when they shoot his ship down.
Yeah.
Jar Jar is the Gungan general then, who haphazardly saves everybody, or at least frees them enough that Dooku can peace out, get the hell out of there, and go back to his castle and take a long bubble bath and think about things. He had an extra long drink of wine that night. Son of a bitch.
He appeased himself by murdering three people on the way out, so it's okay.
Well, the character that kind of backstabs Hondo for the spice, doesn't Dooku end up killing him anyway? Isn't he one of the people?
Yes, he's the one that Dooku, like, slowly chokes to death and makes that guy shoot the other one working with him. So he,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's fucked up.
He makes another person murder someone while he's murdering them. Like, it's just so crazy. And the other guy, he literally kills with his bare hands. He doesn't even use the force on the first guy.
This is how annoyed Dooku is, being anywhere near Obi-Wan and Anakin for an extended period of time. It had to come out somehow.
Exactly.
Not a kid show. Oh, my
God. Exactly. Yes. There's so many moments, even at the beginning, when Senator Karras dies, they show his, like, dead arm sticking up. That would have been enough, but no, then they cut to his full dead body crumpled in the corner. I was like, I didn't need to see that. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah.
But you probably know this. I love this factoid that Senator Karras's staff, the head of his staff, is the staff of Ra from Indiana Jones.
Oh.
They said they didn't put the little gem in there, but they were like, we did everything else. And it was very much on purpose. And I love that. I just adore that. And I saw a little tiny interview with Dave Filoni about it. And he was saying that they're not making a comment, that somehow our universe is tied to the Star Wars universe. But he's like, there is hieroglyphics in Indiana Jones of R2-D2 and 3PO.
Right.
And he's like, so, you know, you could argue that there'd be a connection, but I'm not going to do that. So. We honestly, I would love to do an episode where we do all the Indiana Jones Star Wars crossover stuff.
Because
I think there's so many cool things.
Yes, we should do that. That would be a good one. There's a lot. My God.
There are. It's so cool.
It's a nice touch.
It is. And they can, of course. They're all Lucasfilm, so they're allowed to do it.
True.
And I think there might even be some E.T. references, too.
Oh, then we need to stay away. We can't. We can't do E.T.
No, I won't do E.T. with you. I know we shouldn't do it. But we could do Indiana Jones, for sure.
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the only time I'm mentioning it. I am deathly afraid of E.T., the extraterrestrial from the 80s. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I've been afraid of him since I was 3 years old. I can't look at him. If I look at him, I get instantly nauseous. It's really bad. So anyway.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I was traumatized as a child. I should have never watched it when I did. I was too young.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's actually pretty scary if you're quite young.
It's bad.
It's honestly, it's disturbing even for adults because it's sad.
That's what I hear.
We won't do that, I promise.
Okay.
We'll leave it be.
Very good. I do want to talk about one of the little creatures that are in the episodes because I think they're cute. They're like tiny rhinoceroses that are
the beasties.
Like the Scalder. They're tall. Yeah. They're called Scalders, which I guess is fitting because they're around the acid pools, the acid cavern things.
Geyser
and they do have
spring acid.
I'm looking at a picture of one. They look like they're typical Star Wars, like they look like a tick. But it has rhinoceros tusks, or I guess elephant. But it has like wrinkles. It has cute little feet. It has cute little eyes. I would totally ride one.
I think they look really sweet. Their faces look really sweet.
They're herbivores, so they're not gonna hurt a soul.
Oh, really?
But they were the ones that had the ability to sense when the geysers would go off, and somehow Jar Jar was aware enough to like look around, and. Pick this up.
Shockingly observant for someone who can't stand up without falling down.
It's true, but I actually think, I want to give him some credit here, because he does come from kind of a herd family, like a species.
Yeah.
Granted, underwater, you know, a clan of sorts. So maybe he's more attuned to the natural life. I'm giving him a lot of credit here. But he seems to do well.
I think that's true, though. Yeah, the Gungans are known for being, like, the more nature-based. They have technology, but it's, like, their own kind of technology. It's not, like, the bigger empire, quote-unquote, I don't know, republic technology, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, I definitely... He saves the day.
He does. All of this. Hondo catches a Sith Lord. Two Jedi are captured with the Sith Lord by a bunch of pirates, and this guy... saves the day. how does it happen?
But also, like, Anakin can't let him have his moment either. Because
at the
very end, Jar Jar's like, oh, you were in trouble? And Anakin's like, no, we weren't in trouble. we had it under control.
I credit this to him knowing that Jar Jar will go back and report to Padme. And if Padme knows that they were in trouble, then she's going to be like, the fuck? You know, I sent you two out there because I thought you'd have this under control. And the whole time they were just a mess. So
being electrocuted.
Yeah, Jar Jar saves the day. Something. But I guess he did. Senator Karras, Senator Karras, whatever. At least he does him. A service? I don't want to say it. He didn't do him a disservice. I don't know if he did him a service, but he at least finished the mission or what they were sent there to do.
Yeah, and he tried to, like, even though he was scared, he would do something because he knew it was what Senator Karras would do.
Yeah.
So that was honorable. Senator Karras was voiced by Corey Burton, by the way, which I thought was...
Oh.
I had no idea.
Nope.
Count Dooku and Senator Karras are the same people.
Well, I guess that's efficient if you're in the recording room, you know?
Yeah, seriously. So at the very end, when they're getting ready to leave, Obi-Wan says, "Let's leave on even terms." And I think that's kind of the moment where Hondo falls in love with Obi-Wan.
Absolutely. He loves a good deal, even if it's unspoken, you know, leaving on good terms. Because he knows the damage that these Jedi can do. But Obi-Wan's friendly enough to, you know, look, you didn't do anything. We didn't, none of this was intended. We're just going to see ourselves out.
Yeah. We seek no revenge. But...
Yeah, we know your monkey gassed everybody. It's fine. It's fine. He's a monkey. We'll get over it.
Yeah, I think it's the moment that solidifies their friendship. Moving forward, Hondo is actually happy to see Obi-Wan.
Yeah. He, every time from this moment forward, he gets a little... pep in his step when he sees Obi-Wan. You know, an unlikely friendship. I love those two. They're akin to the friendship that Obi-Wan and Quinlan have on a level of, like, they tolerate each other. They know exactly who they are, and they tolerate each other, and everything's fine. Even though Obi-Wan obviously has a much deeper backstory with Quinlan Vos.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, Obi-Wan has a history with Hondo at the end of all of it.
They do. It goes way back.
Yeah. Hondo will be friends with anyone as long as you don't take from him, you don't backstab him, and you don't talk bad about him. That's...
Yeah. It's business.
It's business.
It's not personal. It's business. But also, he might just... kidnap you and ransom you, even that if
too.
You're friends.
That too. It depends. It depends. What can you do for him? I mean, he befriends Ezra down the line. Ezra's a kid, you know.
Yeah, I was always wondering how sincere that was going to turn out to be. Because Ezra also became friends with Maul. Ezra gets kind of a sucker. Doesn't he also, like... He gets duped by Lando, too, I think, also.
Oh, Lando's a part of it. Yeah, in Rebels. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Ezra. I hope after all of his time spent on the outer rim, the world, the other galaxy with the turtle people, I hope that he's learned a lesson or two about being duped.
We'll see in season two, shall we?
Fingers crossed. I have hope. I have hope. He's matured. He spent some time alone. I think he needed that. Everyone deserves some time alone to soul search.
With turtles.
Yeah. Oh. The three people that need time alone after this episode are Dooku in his bubble bath with his wine, Obi-Wan, who goes back to a silent... apartment and just stares at the wall, and Anakin who probably went and just punched a hole in the wall after, because he had no way of taking it out on Dooku, so he had to take it out on somebody. Where's Clovis? We don't know Clovis yet, do we? Not yet.
I don't think so. I think it's coming up. Yeah, I don't think so yet, but yeah, he definitely just punched a hole in his wall and then covered it with his poster.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, Obi-Wan can't
see
this.
So no one ever saw.
And that's how you deal with being incarcerated with a Sith Lord. They should have all got matching tattoos afterwards. To commemorate.
Of Hondo's face.
Yeah, I guarantee you there's a tattoo artist in Hondo's lair. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I can totally see Obi-Wan getting it on his hip.
I feel like, though, if you got a tattoo there, you would end up, it would be, like, either backwards or, like, misspelled.
Absolutely misspelled, which is how it should be after an episode like this. God. I love this idea. Disney, we're here if you need us. We're just right here. We're chilling. We're available.
We've always got the ideas, yeah. All right, our question for this mess of an arc that is truly delightful. What is your favorite? Tell us. Moment, snarky sass, line drop, character, doesn't matter. There's a lot to pick from. Tell us your favorite thing from this two-part arc, and we will read it on next week's episode.
And next week's episode, we just came up with it in this episode. We're going to talk about the Indiana Jones connections with Star Wars and vice versa. And there's at least 20 things, right? There's at least 20 listed items?
I think so, at
least. That connect? At least. So we're going to go through that list, talk about those moments, and kind of discover them as we go, because I can think of a few, but I can't think of 20 off the top of my head. So this is going to be good.
Yeah, I can think of two off the top of my head, but I'll need to do some more research for the other ones.
Yeah, so join us next week. We'll be talking Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Most Things Kenobi podcast. We appreciate every single one of our patrons and are grateful for your support. If you'd like to support the podcast and become a patron as well, head over to the Most Things Kenobi Patreon. As always, you can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. If you enjoy our podcast, feel free to rate us on Spotify and Apple. And if you need just one place for all of these, head over to mostthingskenobi.com.
So until next time, my space twin, may the force be with you.
Always.